Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister has assured the European Parliament over its EU presidency following its confidence motion defeat. Massive US economic intervention to counter the economic crisis has been attacked by the Czech Prime Minister. The European Commission has expressed full trust the Czech EU presidency can keep on track. Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has given assurances that the fall of his government will not impact its ongoing EU presidency. Speaking at a European Parliament session in Strasbourg on Wednesday, Mr. Topolánek said the toppling of his government the day before in a no-confidence vote would not affect its remaining 3 months piloting EU affairs. Mr. Topolánek admitted earlier, however, that the country's position in negotiations would be somewhat weakened. A government spokesman said the Czech Prime Minister will tender his centre-right coalition's resignation on Thursday. Chances are that he will be put in charge of a caretaker government at least until the end of the EU presidency in June. The government fell Tuesday after the main opposition party, the Social Democrats, won the minimum 101 lower house lawmakers to back their no-confidence motion. Still in Strasbourg, Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek fiercely attacked US steps to tackle the world economic crisis. Mr. Topolánek said the huge cash injections planned were a repeat of the mistakes made in the 1930s and had been discredited by history. The US has been trying to drum up support for greater coordinated global intervention to boost the sluggish world economy. The EU has already shown its unwillingness to match Washington's massive spending after already earmarking €400 billion to kickstart growth. The issue is likely to be high on the agenda of the G20 meeting of the most developed countries in London next week. The European Commission has meanwhile said it has full trust in the Czech Republic's ability to continue heading the EU presidency after it was ousted in the no-confidence vote. The minority centre-right government was brought down by two rebel MPs from the Civic Democrats and two former Greens who tipped the balance in favour of the opposition. Currently, the Czech Republic is halfway through its EU presidency. Mr. Topolánek has said he expects to be entrusted by the President to begin negotiations on an interim cabinet. Separately, the outgoing coalition's second biggest party, the Christian Democrats, have dismissed any idea that a government of experts could take over temporarily. They clarified their stance on the current political crisis following a meeting of party leaders headed by Chairman Jiří Čunek on Wednesday. A government of experts is being pushed by the main opposition, the Social Democrats, as a stopgap measure, but had already been dismissed out of hand by Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek's Civil Democrats. Confidence in the Czech economy rose in March, according to a monthly survey carried out by the Czech Statistical Office. It is the first time sentiment has improved since February 2008. Confidence rose by 1.7 points compared with February, but the index is still 33 points lower over the last 12 months. The index was set at 100 in 2005. The survey showed a mixed outlook about the next months from different sectors of the economy. Construction and services see a continuing slowdown in activity, but trade and industry detect signs of a pickup over the next 3 months. The weather. The outlook is for cloudy weather with occasional showers, with temperatures ranging between 0 and 7 degrees Celsius over the next few days. This is Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Republic's fragile centre-right government has been toppled by a vote of no confidence. Where does that leave the Czech Republic and how may it affect the country's EU presidency? Should the Czech capital make a bid to host the 2020 Summer Olympics? An alliance of mayors is pushing for a referendum on the matter. And later on in the show, we will visit Prague House in Brussels.
Prague House was bought by Prague in 2002 from the family which was called Van Stratum, and they were a dentist, a royal dentist in Belgium.
That's later on in today's Spotlight. All that coming your way, please do stay tuned. The centre-right government of Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek fell in Tuesday's vote of no confidence in the lower house. The opposition, together with four MPs elected on coalition party tickets, succeeded in its fifth attempt to topple the cabinet. The Prime Minister will now deliver his resignation to President Václav Klaus and await his next step. Jan Richter was in Parliament during the vote on Tuesday and has this report.
It took all 97 opposition MPs and four rebel deputies in the lower house on Tuesday to bring down Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek's cabinet, and it was just enough. Last-minute political talks that the Prime Minister held with rebelling deputies failed, and the opposition managed to secure 101 votes against the cabinet. Afterwards, the Prime Minister told reporters that what would follow now would be a standard political procedure.
I was not going to let anyone blackmail me, and I didn't. In any case, this is a standard situation, and the government will follow the rules. I'll deliver my resignation to the president, as the constitution says. We believe the president should also follow the custom and appoint me to form a new government.
Tuesday's vote was the fifth attempt by the opposition to bring down Mr. Topolánek's government in the 2 years and 2 months of its existence. But this time, four former coalition MPs who now sit as independents sided with the Social Democrats and the Communists. Deputy Prime Minister and head of the coalition Greens Martin Bursík said their reasons for voting against the government had nothing to do with its agenda.
This was not about the content of the politics. Those people who were voting together with the Social Democrats and Communists against the government were the people which showed that their priorities are personal than the content of the politics.
The coalition government of the Civic Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Greens had fast been losing ground in Parliament even before the vote of no confidence. Last week it decided to pull out of Parliament treaties with the United States on hosting an American radar base for fear the legislation could be shut down. Speaking before Tuesday's vote, the Prime Minister even promised to scrap controversial healthcare reforms, a source of tension even within the coalition itself. But the last straw for the opposition was a recent media scandal involving Mr. Topolánek's close friend, who tried to influence a Czech TV reporter. Social Democrat MP Jan Hamáček said that after this, his party decided to call the vote, even though the country currently holds the presidency of the European Council.
Obviously, it's a concern for me, but we wouldn't have done it had the Prime Minister and his close allies acted otherwise. I think what Mr. Dalík did, it was a flagrant violation of all democratic principles. You just can't push a journalist into something not airing a story. And I think that was the key thing that actually tipped off the balance and forced us basically to call the vote of no confidence.
After the vote, the Czech EU presidency said the fall of the government was not going to have any immediate impact on its role at the helm of the EU. Mr. Topolánek admitted that the result could weaken the negotiating powers of the Czechs, but he also said that the administration was so well prepared that it could handle the presidency even without politicians. Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg agrees that the fall of the cabinet should not affect the Czech EU presidency.
That doesn't mean a lot because we have to work anyway as a government this summer. So for the presidency, it doesn't make a difference.
Mr. Topolánek will formally tender his resignation to the president on Thursday. What happens next is for Václav Klaus to decide.
Jan Richter with that report. Now, of course, the collapse of Prime Minister Topolánek's centre-right government has opened a great many questions. Who will be at the helm in the coming months? How will this development affect the country's EU presidency and the Czech Republic's ability to deal with the effects of the global financial crisis? Political analyst Jiří Pehe says the main decision is now in the hands of one man, the country's president.
The Czech Republic, of course, now has to find a new government, and the president of the country, Mr. Václav Klaus, has become the main player on the political chessboard at this point. It's really almost entirely up to him what the next move will be. He may decide to appoint Mr. Topolánek as a caretaker and leave him in the office and his government until the end of Czech presidency of the European Union, but he may also decide to name a completely new government. So I guess we will know more at the end of this week.
As you said, we're in the middle of the EU presidency. We're in the middle of an economic crisis. How much damage will this do?
Well, I think that as far as the government is concerned, of course, many people wish for it to go. But at the same time, I think it's very unfortunate that this government was defeated in the middle of the Czech presidency of the European Union. This will be seen by the rest of the EU as another sign of instability and lack of trustworthiness on part of new members. So the Czech Republic damaged in a way not only its own reputation, but also the reputation of other new members of the European Union. I think that the presidency will be very inefficient simply because the Czechs will be reduced to organizing meetings and other organizational matters, but as far as the political leadership of the Union is concerned, I think that other countries will take over simply because a government that doesn't have legitimacy at home can hardly have any legitimacy on the European level.
Is it more advantageous for the Czech Republic for this government to continue at least until the end of the presidency?
From my point of view, I really think that this government has worked on the European level quite well. It has done a reasonably good job, and it already knows the ropes, so to speak. So it would be detrimental to send this government away and start from scratch.
We're also in the middle of an economic crisis. There are still reforms to be undertaken. Does this spell an end to reforms in the country?
Yes, I think that the Czech Republic will not see any reforms at least for a year or two, because whichever government takes over in the before the elections, it will not be able to introduce any reforms, and of course any new government will need time. So I think that for at least a year or two, we will not see any reforms in the Czech Republic. But we don't really need any radical reforms at this point. We basically need a good manager, that is a government that manages things well, is able to respond to various concrete crises and meet the demands of entrepreneurs and people who are losing jobs. And for that, I don't think we need any significant reforms. But the problem is, of course, that even this role, that is the role of a manager of crisis, may be undermined now.
So when do you foresee early elections in the Czech Republic, or elections indeed?
I am pessimistic about the prospect of early elections. I think that despite the fact that both parties, largest parties, talk about early elections, it is extremely difficult under the Czech constitution to trigger early elections. We would really need a constitutional majority to pass a special constitutional amendment to have early elections, because the three scenarios that are described in the Czech constitution are so rigid that they are basically useless. So my feeling is that there will be a lot of talk about early elections, but in the end we will be lucky to have early elections at the beginning of next year, and more likely we will simply have regular elections in June 2010, and until then the Czech Republic will be governed by some government of experts.
Jiří Peha there on some of the implications of the government's collapse on Tuesday, a subject that no doubt we'll be hearing a lot more about in the coming days and weeks. Now on to something different. An alliance of mayors, associations and prominent citizens have launched an attempt to force Prague City Hall to hold a referendum on whether the Czech capital should host the 2020 Summer Olympic Games. Chris Johnstone looks at the hurdles they face in trying to push the controversial question to a vote.
The alliance, which counts a grouping of independent mayors, associations such as the environmental group Arnica and former mayor Jan Castle among its leading lights, launched its bid to call a referendum on the Olympics on Tuesday. Their basic argument is that such a mammoth event should not be staged without consulting at least some of the citizens who are likely to be paying for it years after the closing ceremony. Jan Castle explains.
We want to engage either all Czech Prague citizens to support Olympic Games or to be against. Yes or no, because the decision can't be decision of some politicians who would like to cut the ribbon, to open stadiums, to, let's say, be applauded.
Most of the referendum's backers have reservations about current Prague mayor Pavel Bem's enthusiasm for hosting the Games. pointing out the pollution and environmental problems, the cash being drained from the regions to the rich capital, and the half-billion-crown bill that would probably have to be paid by all Czech citizens. Castle says he has mixed views, but he doubts whether Prague can benefit as a host in the same way as past Olympic cities such as Barcelona.
My stand is a bit ambiguous. I understand that the Olympic development can be something like the development chance for certain area. I'm not sure if Prague is that case, if we need a huge event to develop quite small, tiny, medieval, historical city. But Prague probably much more would be needed of 365 small events, everyday one, and not the one biggest in 100 years.
The immediate challenge of the referendum's organisers is now to muster the 60,000 signatures needed to force the City Council to hold a vote on the issue. The result would be binding if more than 35% of citizens take part and more than 50% vote one way or the other. During the next weeks, referendum organisers will post leaflets explaining their stance and calling for signatures through city letterboxes. Their target is for the vote to be called within a few months before fresh millions of crowns are spent on Olympic preparations.
Chris Johnston with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time for a fresh edition of Spotlight, which takes us somewhat far from home this time round. Rosie Johnson visits Prague House in Brussels.
A Tuesday night in Brussels and a crowd of well-dressed concertgoers await a recital of Dvořák and Martinů. The concert, staged in the city's splendid Théâtre de Vaudeville, is a joint English and Czech venture. One of the people behind the event is Lucia Chadilova from the Brussels Prague House.
This is an evening organized together by the Greater Manchester Brussels office and Prague House, and we were very happy and in fact thrilled by the idea because we could bring one of our best string quartets, which is Škampa Quartet. And so I very much hope that the people will enjoy it. It's going to be a mixture of Bohuslav Martinů, Antonín Dvořák, and I hope they will like it.
The Pražský dům, or Prague House in Brussels, organises such events throughout the year to raise awareness of the Czech capital and its cultural offerings. Many of the screenings, exhibitions and concerts are held in the Prague House itself, which we'll visit in a minute. But for this large-scale concert on Tuesday evening, a bigger space was needed. Radim Sedmidubsky from the Škampa Quartet is thrilled with the venue.
We are playing in this wonderful theatre, which I would imagine is used for cabaret usually, but it's a wonderful setting for a classical music concert.
And why are you here in Brussels to play Czech music?
We were kindly invited because it's a special event when Manchester and Prague come together. It's the Manchester Week here in Brussels, which falls, as a coincidence, in the period of the Czech presidency of the European Union. So we are very glad to be here for a very short time, unfortunately, only for 3 days.
How does the Brussels audience compare to a Prague audience, say?
Oh, they are very civilized, yeah, very kind, and educated.
The Prague House doesn't just promote Czech culture in Brussels, it also lobbies at various European institutions on behalf of Prague. Right now, its head Lucia Chadilova has a packed schedule.
We are more busy than in other times, but of course during the half year of our presidency we wanted to bring the best we could, and we have less activities, but this half year we are really enjoying because we could bring much more than in other times.
But now across town to the Prague House itself, in all its bricks and mortar. Pavel Dobeš gave me a tour.
Right now we are standing in the gallery of the Prague House, where we are actually showing the people in Brussels, in European Commission and European Parliament, pieces of culture from Czech Republic, precisely from Prague.
Okay, and so what's the current exhibition that you've got on?
The current exhibition is actually covering Franz Kafka and his era in Prague.
it looks like this once was a very beautiful kind of merchant's house or something like that. Can you tell me the history of the building?
So basically, Prague House was bought by Prague in 2002 from the family which was called Van Stratum, and they were a dentist, a royal dentist in Belgium. And we are actually standing in a building which is actually also called in French Maison de Maître, which is the old merchant building that it's actually quite common in Brussels from the era of the end of 19th century.
The first floor of this Art Nouveau house has, for the length of the Czech Republic's EU presidency, been rammed full of technological equipment and converted into a Czech radio studio. Radio Journal's Pavel Novak showed me around.
Now we are in the studio of Czech Radio in Prague House. We can record here interviews or some sessions with members of parliament, for example. We invited here some VIPs like the ambassador of Czech Republic in Belgium, ambassador or permanent representant in European Union, and also some people from NATO. We have here also very nice view from the windows. Just sometimes when the children from kindergarten are outside, so it's possible to notice that there is some noise, but the windows are good, so the studio is soundproven against some sounds which could get here from outside.
Perhaps the most striking room in the Prague House is the salon downstairs, which during my visit was where employees of the Pražský dům were learning French. At other times, however, the drawing room is used for social gatherings, which can even spill over into outside. Here's Pavel Dobeš again.
When we have nice weather, usually during the summer or spring or summer, we are organizing also open air concert at this nice garden. It's a possible. It's a little bit bigger place where we can actually have more people than we can actually fit inside of the building. Secondly, we can also see a tree which was actually planted by Cardinal Granville in 1515. It's actually this tree over here, and it will be more than 500 years old so far, so it's a nice piece of nature itself around the Square Ambiorix, and it's actually one of the 12 trees that were planted by this cardinal, and it's actually the last tree that's actually left around Ambiorix right nowadays.
Prague House also has some rooms in which it can accommodate passing Czechs. It can be found on Avenue Palmerston, 16, Brussels.
Rosie Johnson with that edition of Spotlight, and I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Radio.cz is where you will find us online should you like to write to us about anything you heard in the show or just to offer comments and suggestions. Then the email address is english@radio.cz, or you can send your letters to Vinohradská 12, Prague postal code 12099. We'd be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and take care. Thank you.
Thank you.